Hello, and welcome back to our KPMG FRV podcast, The Sustainability Report. I'm your host, Louise Santa Cruz, and today's topic is going back to Cali, because we're going to focus on recent updates to California's climate reporting. We're going to spend some time with two of my favorite people talking about California's climate laws. Yes, I'm talking about SB 261 on climate risks and SB 253 on GHG emissions. Those of us who are used to standard setting in the financial world may have thought that once the state's governor signed the bills into law in October 2023, the lawmakers were done. But that's not exactly how it plays out in the world of state lawmaking. In fact, California has a very structured process for adopting regulations, and the California Air Resources Board, or CARB, as we'll find out later, is working now to draft the details of the regulations that companies will need to implement the laws. So in simple terms, the state of California told companies in 2023 that they'd have to start reporting GHG and climate information, and now they're writing the guidance that tells companies how to do it. And because reporting starts in 2026, companies need to know if they're in scope, and if they are, they need to know what they can be doing now, even before the final regulations are published. So I'm very fortunate to have with me today Julie Santoro, a partner in our national office who leads sustainability reporting in the U.S. and serves as vice chair of our global sustainability reporting team, and Christina Abbott, a managing director in our national office, who also sits on the Greenhouse Gas Protocol's Corporate Standard Technical Working Group. Today, they're going to give us an overview of the status of the GHG emissions and climate laws in California, give us some context around how companies should be thinking about them, and give us some no-regrets moves that companies can do now, even though the final rules haven't been published. So a little caveat, we're not going into the detailed reporting requirements, but we do have some great resources on FRV. If you want to hit pause to get up to speed before you continue, our site is kpmg.com/us/CaliClimate, which is also in the podcast description. So today, we're going to bring you the latest to help you on the road to Cali. Welcome back, Julie and Christina, to our podcast. So, Julie, you know so much about what's happening in California. Exactly which part of California are you from?
Okay, Louise, totally lame joke to start with, but you actually helped me make a really good early point, and that is that companies don't need to be based in California to be in the scope of the California climate laws.
Okay, yeah, it's a good segue. So you are clearly from New York, I can tell. Before we get to the very important topic of scoping that you mentioned, I would love to set the stage for our conversation today. Where do things stand right now with the California climate laws? So Julie, maybe you could start us off.
Yeah, there are three things. So if we pierce through all the noise, three key things to understand that really underpin everything that we're going to talk about today. So number one, you said it already, Louise, reporting is in 2026. That is not going to change. It is in the law. Number two, however, there are no regulations yet that are underpinning the laws. So it is a fact that there is uncertainty surrounding both the scope. So, for example, companies who are at the margins in terms of the revenue calculation, but also implementation issues. So exactly what the reporting needs to look like. And number three, to balance this uncertainty, CARB, you said it, the California Air Resources Board, is leaning into enforcement relief. Some of that is baked into the laws, but there's also a separate enforcement notice for GHG emissions. So those are the three key things to understand as we move forward with the discussion.
So I appreciate, Julie, that you kind of started with the bottom line to help center the discussion. And I know I said that we're not going to get into the details of the requirements in the intro, but I do think it would be helpful, Christina, if you could give us a little context and walk us through the timeline that gets us to today.
Sure. So we are in the middle of their formal rulemaking process. It's been a long road, it feels like, for me, since we first saw those initial those laws that came into force in October. I think that was back in 2023 already. They had a public consultation process since then. They've had one public workshop where they went over some of those feedback they received in that process. They've just recently held another workshop in May and released FAQs in July. Now, I think I was among the group that was expecting that we might see final rules by July 1, 2025, which, of course, that did not happen. CARB acknowledged in advance that that wasn't going to happen, but they are committed to developing regulation by the end of this year. We don't know if that's draft regulation by the end of 2025. If that is the case, then that might be, you know, could be another year then until that's finalized. Once that draft regulation is available, it'll be made available for public comment. In the meantime, though, we do expect that CARB is going to continue to actively engage with stakeholders through additional workshops, and that public engagement is encouraged in those. The one I participated in May, they were asking questions and accepting, turning the mic over to let the public that were participating provide additional comment or ask questions. But as Julie mentioned, the actual deadlines for reporting haven't changed, and the CARB has advised that companies should continue to move forward with planning those disclosures and make that based on what the statutory requirement says. That was the guidance we saw in the July FAQ. So maybe I'll just touch on a little bit what exactly those deadlines were. So SB 261, that's the climate-related financial risk, those disclosures should be made by January 1, 2026. And that is posted on the company's website. CARB did mention in their FAQs they would provide a public docket that would be a place companies could put their web link where it is actually found on their website. And that was one of the questions that had come up in May. So already seems responsive to a question from the public on where they need to provide those disclosures. And then sometime in 2026, that is when the scope 1 and 2 emissions disclosures are required. So that does say within 2026, and it is meant to be the previous reporting year. So if you're a calendar year end, that would be your 2025 data. But one thing maybe to mention is that it isn't clear in the rule how off year ends would respond to which year of emissions they would need to be disclosing. And in the enforcement notice, it did mention that there would be relief provided for disclosures made in good faith. It didn't mention assurance, though that is one of the requirements in the law. So we would expect that assurance would be something that a preparer should be pursuing. And in addition to that, I'll say CARB would likely take some additional steps to further refine who may provide assurance and under which standards, because that was also very general in the law. There's maybe a little bit we want to unpack there for our listeners. By far, I think the most common question is, yes, okay, deadlines haven't moved, but how do we know if we're in scope?
Yeah, Christina, that's exactly what I wanted to talk about. I know, Julie, the laws say that companies doing business in California are in scope, but I understand there's no exact definition of what it means to be doing business in California. To me, that kind of feels like a tax status definition. I know this is a huge question for companies, for our clients. Have we gotten any directional information from CARB in their recent workshop on how to define doing business in California?
Okay, what I can say, it's not completely known at this stage. You're right. This is indeed the single foundational question, am I in scope? So there's two parts to that question. Like you said, am I doing business in California? And then in addition, do I cross the revenue threshold? So the $1 billion for GHG emissions and the $500 million for climate risk reporting. So this was the number one focus in the CARB workshop. And CARB staff did unveil their tentative thinking, and they listened to a lot of questions. They weren't in a position on that workshop to give definitive answers, but they absolutely know that this is the number one thing on people's minds. So the initial thinking of CARB is that they will leverage the California Revenue and Tax Code, both for doing business in California and for the revenue calculation. So on the one hand, the simplicity of this approach is that the revenue and the tax code is known. And so really a company can look at its tax return at the most basic level. Perhaps the complication of this approach is that that actually might not be the best answer for climate-related reporting. And that was certainly the gist of some of the comments in the workshops. But regardless of whether you agree or disagree with that, this is just tentative thinking. It's a straw man that they put out there at the workshop to see how constituents reacted. CARB wants companies to engage, wants them to write in with their thoughts. So this is all part of the process of gathering public input over the summer. So if you're at the margins, some companies obviously know that whichever way this goes, they're going to be in scope. But if you're at the margins of being in or out of scope, you most definitely want to not only monitor what's happening with CARB, but you probably want to engage as well.
That was really helpful. It sounds like you gave a lot of good information, even though there's clearly uncertainty around the companies that are in scope. But maybe, Christina and Julie, we can spend a little bit of time pivoting to what CARB has said about what's required in the reporting.
Sure. Yeah, I can maybe cover some of that. So starting with SB 253, that's pretty straightforward. It's requiring disclosure of scopes 1 and 2 in the first instance, and which would be followed by scope 3 in a later year. The greenhouse gas protocol is mentioned in the law, but there are questions about whether other frameworks might be permitted or whether they might actually change to a different framework in the future. They did leave the door open to consider that. But for now, greenhouse gas protocol is a good standard to use with scopes 1 and 2, since that's explicitly in the law. So SB 261 is the climate-related financial disclosure risks. And that, again, is where you're describing those risks and then also measures adopted to reduce or adapt to those risks. TCFD is listed in the law explicitly because that is a framework that's widely used, and it includes those two sections of what the disclosure is requiring. It also includes a few other things. We have a webcast that's entirely devoted to what a TCFD report looks like and calls out where some of those differences might be. So highly recommend that listeners that didn't catch that go back and have a listen. And I think we've got the link to that in the show notes.
Let me jump in then and just add on something about parent company relief, Louise, before we continue, because that's like a really, really common question. And this applies to both SB 253 on the GHG emissions, but also to the climate risk reporting. So let's just say you have a group. It has two US companies in scope and they are subsidiaries. Scenario one is that the parent of these two subsidiaries is another US company. And that's the really easy scenario. Reporting can be done at the parent level. It's not mandatory, it is voluntary. So if you want to, you can do it at the parent level, meaning that those two subsidiaries don't need to do their own reporting. So that's scenario one. Scenario two, however, let's just say that the parent is overseas, for example, in Germany. And the question is that okay? Can the group report done by the German parent be used so that the two US subsidiaries don't need to do their own reporting? On the one hand, parent is not defined in the law, so that seems to point to it being okay to use the German parent's reporting. On the other hand, we know that California Senator Wiener has previously indicated his thinking that the parent itself should be a US company. And in that case, the relief would not apply. So we have two different viewpoints on whether you could take the relief using an overseas parent. And I really think that this is TBD as CARB develops the regulations. And I certainly regard this as part of the whole definitional issue we expect CARB to look at pretty immediately, because it affects the kind of parent-subsidiary relationship in applying the laws.
So thanks, Julie. Maybe I can just recap quickly what we've spoken about because I want to look forward now. So we spoke about the timeline to draft the new regulations and how that lines up with the reporting deadlines. And we covered what we know about companies that are in scope of the laws, but that there's still remaining uncertainty. And we also talked about what we know from CARB and what companies need to report. So with that context, setting the stage, let's talk about actions. What should companies be doing today? I know this is a little tricky because companies are being asked to report pretty soon without the final regulations to do it, but there must be no regrets moves. And it might be helpful to our listeners because I know they're in different parts of their journey. If we kind of look at this from a few perspectives, so maybe the company that's already doing TCFD or other reporting versus the company that is preparing to report in the future under maybe a CSRD or another global framework, or finally the company that finds themselves in scope of California but really hasn't done any voluntary reporting or any reporting yet to date. So maybe, Christina, I can ask you to start us off. What's the call to action for these companies?
Yeah, so from a greenhouse gas standpoint, I would say lean into relief. The greenhouse gas emissions disclosures aren't required until within 2026. So there is some time. And again, that's over 2025 information for just scope one and two in disclosures. Hopefully, companies have started down the road of that process and have some time to also include an assurance in there. But the enforcement notice didn't mention assurance. It said it was going to give some relief when you've made a good faith effort. So that's really what I would encourage companies to focus on, is just get your scope one and two information in there. And disclosure is your friend. The Greenhouse Gas Protocol has very specific disclosures that could be followed to help give a reader some understanding of where you are in your scope one and two disclosures and what might be excluded and why that's excluded. And then for SB 261, if you haven't started this one yet, that is the disclosure that's required January 1, 2026. Don't panic, but you should get started. Remember that CARB's advice is to follow that statutory requirement. So the statutory requirement as a minimum is, what are the climate-related financial risks? What are the measures you have adopted to reduce or adapt to those risks? It doesn't say that you have to have measures adopted. And the TCFD reporting that is mentioned as something that would be accepted is really a good resource to just get an understanding of what are some of the background processes that might be happening from a governance and risk management standpoint about how risks are identified and measured. And it's designed to allow for a reporter to be able to mature those disclosures. Recognizing your first year of reporting isn't going to be perfect. It might not have the level of detail that you would envision in an optimal report, but it gives you some runway to identify risks in your industry, with your competitors, and to really think about then how that's going to impact your business into the future. It is a forward-looking disclosure, so also keep that in mind. If you're a reporter that has started your TCFD reporting, you've got one version of it, maybe you have done a few different reports. The disclosure is required on every 2 years, but January 1, 2026, you should plan to have that website link added to the public docket. Dust off that risk assessment, make sure that is refreshed for the reporting that will be required in 2026. And then again, I'll reference just back, we've got that webcast. If you're not sure about or want to explore more what TCFD requirements look like, have a listen to that webcast. But then we might fit into a third category where you've got some other more sophisticated TCFD reporting going on, and maybe I'll ask if Julie can give us some insight into that.
Well, thanks, Christina. The point I wanted to make is that if you are getting ready for other frameworks, so the ESRSs or ISSB related, there is enough overlap in those requirements so that you're on the right track. I really don't think you need to do anything separate. If your reporting, though, is at the level of an overseas parent, so coming back to my earlier example of the German parent, take a look how that reporting relates to the US companies that are going to be in scope. If you are monitoring the CARB discussions, bearing in mind that they are looking at these definitional points first, but you are concerned that you won't have time to pivot if you need to prepare at the US level, notwithstanding the enforcement relief. So again, as Christina said, lean into that. Then I do think it's best to consult with legal counsel at this stage so that you can get a little bit of comfort for yourself.
Julie, maybe just to wrap this up, what does the rest of the year really look like for companies with their reporting and their preparing, just kind of to round out what you were talking about with Christina? What do companies need to monitor short-term and long-term as these uncertainties maybe get clarified?
Yeah, I would kind of bring it back to the three messages that we started with. So message number one was that reporting is in 2026. It's not going to change. It is in the law. So do not wait. There is no time. Make your no regrets moves now. The second point was that there's no regulations yet underpinning the laws. CARB knows this, and they are committed to a transparent process and sharing their thinking as they're going, having those public forums. So do monitor the CARB discussions. Or, Louise, our listeners can monitor us as we monitor the CARB discussions. And the third point was that to balance this uncertainty, CARB is emphasizing again and again that companies should lean into the enforcement relief. So get a good understanding of what that relief is. Start with our resources and the webcast that Christina has very handily name-checked twice now. There is relief both in the law itself, there's relief in a TCFD report, and there's a separate enforcement notice for GHG emissions. So definitely get a good understanding of what is available to you before you assume the worst.
A massive thank you to Julie and Christina for coming today to talk about the latest on California climate rules. It's time now for the bottom line, where I spend a few minutes at the end of each episode talking about my key takeaways from the conversation so you can get the updates you need, even if you only have a few minutes to spare. From today's conversation, I think there were four main takeaways. Firstly, 2026 reporting deadlines. So the rulemaking by the California Air Resources Board, the CARB, that's underway, does not change the deadlines established by the laws in 2023. Companies that are subject to the laws need to publish climate-related financial risk and mitigation disclosures under SB 261 by January 1st, 2026. And sometime within 2026, exact date is TBD, companies will need to report Scope 1 and Scope 2 greenhouse gas emissions under SB 253. So regardless of any uncertainties we talked about surrounding the final form of regulatory guidance, 2026 reporting is not going to change. The second takeaway is regulatory development is in progress. So while the statutory deadlines have been established, the detailed rules and technical guidance for meeting these obligations are still being formulated by the CARB. CARB is actively engaged in a transparent rulemaking process that includes public consultations, targeted workshops, and ongoing dialogues with various stakeholders. We're advising companies to monitor CARB's updates closely and consider even participating in some of the forums. We are tracking developments closely and are posting our updates all the time on kpmg.com/US/CaliClimate as they arise. So we really encourage you to monitor our updates. Thirdly, definitional uncertainty and scope challenges. So a critical challenge for many organizations today is determining whether they fall in scope of the laws. Are they considered to be doing business in California under the laws? And do they meet the specific revenue thresholds prescribed in the laws? And the CARB's current thinking is to leverage the existing revenue and tax code to classify these companies. And this was presented as a straw man at CARB's recent workshop to see how constituents reacted. So for companies that are not sure whether they're in scope, this lack of clear-cut definition can lead to varying interpretations, and we can see potential compliance challenges. So please stay tuned. As for our final takeaway, no regrets moves. Firstly, don't panic. With enforcement relief provided for good faith efforts in meeting disclosure requirements, there are many no regrets moves that companies can do today. For those already using established frameworks like the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, or TCFD, you most likely have what you need for the reporting, but companies new to sustainability reporting can start by evaluating their exposure to climate risks, establishing baseline disclosures, and integrating these processes into broader risk management strategies. Additionally, aspects such as parent company relief, where reporting can be done at the parent level, it's not entirely clear whether it's available for subsidiaries with non-US parents, but we do expect this to be addressed by CARB imminently because of the reporting implications. And with that, please be sure to subscribe, give us 5 stars so you can stay up to date on what's going on. We really do appreciate your support, and it helps us reach more listeners like you. We have a really great weekly newsletter that you can subscribe to by going to our FRV site. It brings you all of KPMG's thought leadership in one place, and that way you never miss out, whether it's on this podcast or online. Don't miss any future financial reporting episodes. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll tune in again for the Sustainability Report.